السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ. اشہد ان لا الہ الا اللہ وحدہ لا شریک لہ واشہد ان محمدًا عبدہ ورسولہ. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
حضرت مسلم رضی اللہ عنہ ایک موقع پر دعا کی اہمیت بیان فرما رہے تھے کہ کس طرح دعا سے.
On one occasion, Hadhrat Musleh Maud was explaining the importance of prayers and how prayers can produce extraordinary feats and effects. Expounding on this and also discussing mesmerism, Hadhrat Musleh Maud says, those skilled in the art of mesmerism are able to cause some changes in people through their ability. However, these changes are temporary, only affect an individual person, and further, they do not render any revolutionary beneficial effects. On the other hand, prayers, if offered with due justice, can reform the corruption of a nation. Expounding on this, Hadhrat Musleh Maud cites an account of the promised Messiah on whom be peace, which relates to Hadhrat Sufi Ahmad Jan Sahib. Three Friday sermons ago, I mentioned that Hadhrat Sufi Ahmad Jan Sahib initially strove in following a certain peer or a spiritual guide. But later, he was convinced in the promised Messiah on whom be peace, and recognized the status of the promised Messiah on whom be peace even before his claim. Nonetheless, I will now present further details on this in the words of Hadhrat Musleh Maud, which shed light on what value the promised Messiah on whom be peace gave towards the effect of mesmerism on others. Hadhrat Musleh Maud says, what is mesmerism? It is merely the name of some tricks and pastime, whereas prayer is the weapon that transforms the heaven and earth. At the time, the promised Messiah on whom be peace was yet to announce his claim and had only written Barahine Ahmadiyyat. This book had become extremely popular amongst the scholars and the Sufis. Pir Manzoor Ahmed Sahib and the father of Pir Iftikhar Sahib, Sufi Ahmed Jan Sahib, were two very godly and righteous elders. When they read the announcement or pamphlet of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, they started a correspondence of letters with him. They expressed a desire for the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, to inform him beforehand if he ever decided to visit Ludhiana. Coincidentally, during those days, a chance arose for the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, to visit Ludhiana. Hazrat Sufi Jan Sahib invited the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, to his home for dinner, and after the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, left, Sufi Sahib walked alongside him. Sufi Sahib was renowned in the area as a follower of a peer, spiritual guide from Rattar Chattar. He at the time was considered a very important member of the sect among the Sufis in India. He observed abstinence and devotion, and also was greatly skilled in mesmerism. So much so that while performing prayer, many of this peer or spiritual guide's followers on either side would all sit down in a line. As soon as he said salam to complete their prayer, he would blow in either direction, which would cure some of the people who were suffering from ailments. This is the effect mesmerism can have on others. I mentioned in the last Friday sermon that Sufi Ahmad Jan Sahib remained a student of this peer or spiritual guide for 12 years, and Sufi Sahib had to move the grinder in a flour mill for this spiritual guide of his. Nonetheless, on this walk, Sufi Ahmad Jan Sahib mentioned to the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, that serving his peer or spiritual guide for so many years had given him so much power in mesmerism that if he were to concentrate on the person walking behind them, he could cause them to immediately wither and roll around restlessly. Immediately after hearing this, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, stood up and dragged the tip of his staff along the ground, leaving a mark. Hazrat Musleh Maud says that it was a habit of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, that when he became especially passionate, he would very slowly rake the tip of his staff on the ground, in a similar manner to when something is raked in the ground to remove something. And so in any case, the promised Messiah, whilst raking his staff on the ground in this manner, said, Sufi Sahib, even if the other person falls down, how will it benefit you? And how will it benefit him? Sufi Sahib was among the very God-fearing people and had been given far-sightedness from God the Almighty. Hence, as soon as he heard the promised Messiah's response, he was completely overwhelmed and said that from today I repent from mesmerism. I now understand that it is a worldly practice and not spiritual. Subsequently, Sufi Sahib released a pamphlet in which he wrote that this practice was not something specific to only being shown in Islam, and so a Christian or Hindu could also master this art if they so wished. And hence I announce that from today, none of my followers should practice mesmerism while attributing it to an aspect of Islam. Certainly, if one uses mesmerism while attributing it to a worldly practice, then they can do so. Hazrat Musleh Maud says, I have mentioned that Allah the Almighty had given Sufi Jan Sahib far-sightedness. We have an astonishing evidence to prove this. When the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, had only written Barahine Ahmadiyyat, Sufi Jan Sahib had recognized that he was going to be the promised Messiah. At the time, it had not even been disclosed to the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, that he was to make a claim. It was during these days when Sufi Sahib sent a letter to the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, containing the following couplet. I have cited this before as well. The couplet read, We, the ailing, look towards you alone. For God's sake, be the Messiah. Thus, Hazrat Musleh Maud says, This tells us that Sufi Sahib had seen divine visions, which had revealed to him that this person was imminently to become the promised Messiah. Although Sufi Sahib passed away before the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, had announced his claim, he had counseled his children that Hazrat Mirza Sahib was going to make a claim, and they should not delay in accepting him. Introducing us further to Sufi Sahib, Hazrat Musleh Maud says that Hazrat Khalifa Tumsi I was married in his household. In other words, Hazrat Khalifa Tumsi I was Sufi Sahib's son-in-law. Then Hazrat Musleh Maud mentions an account relating to mesmerism from a gathering of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, which shows how God the Almighty not only caused those practicing mesmerism to fail before the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, but further, divine signs were also shown in contrast. Hazrat Musleh Maud says, "What significance does the willpower of those who practice mesmerism have compared to the willpower of faith? Mesmerism cannot stand in comparison with faith. There is a world of difference between the willpower given by God the Almighty and the willpower man develops on his own. In this very mosque, Hazrat Musleh Maud was at the time delivering a sermon in either Masjid Mubarak or Masjid Aqsa. In fact, it was Masjid Mubarak. So Hazrat Musleh Maud says that in this mosque, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, would sit in an assembly on the lower floor. Once a Hindu who was an accountant working in an office in Lahore and was an expert in mesmerism visited Qadian with a group that were travelling for a wedding with the intention that I will perform mesmerism on Mirza Sahib so that whilst he is sitting in his assembly he will begin to dance, God forbid, and thus he would be disgraced in front of everyone. This Hindu himself later related this account to an Ahmadi, and the background to this was once the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, sent an Ahmadi to Lahore with one of his books and said to give it to a Hindu there. The Ahmadi conveyed the book to the Hindu and asked him, "Why has Mirza Sahib sent you his book and how do you know him?" Upon this, the Hindu narrated what had come to pass and explained, "I am so skilled in mesmerism that if I acutely concentrate upon someone whilst I am sitting on a horse-drawn carriage, then the person who I am focusing my concentration on will run behind the carriage. This is despite the fact that I will have no mutual acquaintance with the person being mesmerized. I had heard regarding Mirza Sahib from the Hindus and the Aryas that Mirza Sahib has written numerous books against the Arya Mat. Thus, I resolved to use mesmerism upon Mirza Sahib and use my concentration to cause an effect on him during one of his assemblies. Thus, I would disgrace him in front of all of his followers. And so I went to Qadian for a wedding, and he, that is Mirza Sahib, was in his assembly, and I sat near the door and started to use my concentration upon Mirza Sahib. Mirza Sahib was imparting some advice and delivering a religious lecture at the time. My intense concentration had no effect on Mirza Sahib whatsoever. I thought Mirza Sahib's willpower must be greater than normal and therefore exerted even more concentration, but still it had no effect on him at all, and he continued his lecture as normal. I thought his willpower must be even greater, and so I mustered all my knowledge and skill in mesmerism that I was familiar with, and I expended all strength that I possibly could. However, when I called on all my ability, I saw before me a lion sitting who wants to pounce on me." It also has been narrated that he said, "Every time I concentrated, I saw a lion before me. And on the final attempt, the lion was readying to attack me. Terrified seeing the lion, I grabbed my shoes and ran away. When I reached the door, Mirza Sahib said to his followers, 'Go and see who that is.' One of his followers descended down the staircase behind me and grabbed hold of me at the square near the mosque. Because I was recovering from my senses and was almost unconscious, having expended my strength on applying mesmerism, I said to the person who had seized me, "Leave me just now, as I am not fully in my senses. I will at some later point write to Mirza Sahib about this entire episode." Thus he let me go, and I wrote the entire incident to the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. I said that I had been insulting, and I asked for forgiveness as I had not recognized the status of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. Hadrat Musleh Maud says, Mia Abdul Aziz Sahib Mughal from Lahore would relate, whose many of his relatives still live here, that I asked a Hindu that at the time did you not think that Mirza Sahib was perhaps skilled in mesmerism and had more ability in it than you. The Hindu replied, "This is impossible because mesmerism is reliant on full concentration as well as complete silence and tranquility." However, Mirza Sahib was in the middle of a discussion. Thus I understood that Mirza Sahib's willpower was not earthly but was rather heavenly. Hadrat Musleh Maud says, "In short, man's self-developed willpower is at complete opposite ends to the willpower infused by God the Almighty in man, developed after one holds complete faith. Man's own willpower is like child play compared to divinely inspired willpower instilled in a person." This is akin to the example of Moses, peace be upon him, where before his staff the serpents, the sorcerers and magicians were vanquished. And so worldly people who display their willpower are rendered completely insignificant before the beloved of God the Almighty, who display divinely conferred willpower. In another place, Hadrat Musleh Maud explains the essential requirements for the progress of a nation. He also expounds on how much honour the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, had for religious matters and the status of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. Hadrat Musleh Maud says, "For a nation to progress, it is essential that they adopt all truths. It is of paramount significance for people to adopt all forms of honesty. It should not be the case that only in doctrinal beliefs one accepts the concept of the death of Jesus and thinks that nothing else is required. Rather, one should reflect deeply on the concept of the death of Jesus, that why is it necessary to believe in this? What pains us by the concept of believing Jesus remains alive is that firstly, it establishes the superiority of Jesus, peace be upon him, over the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. However, no prophet ever has or will match the glory and splendor of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. Believing that Jesus is alive gives him superiority to the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, who truly reformed the entire world. This is in contradiction to Islamic doctrines. We cannot consider for a moment that the Messiah was greater than the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. To believe that the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, is buried in the ground, whereas Jesus, peace be upon him, is seated in the fourth heaven, is to severely dishonor and defame Islam. The other issue that we have in believing in the concept of Jesus being alive is that it affects the belief in the unity of God. It is because of these two things that we place great emphasis on the death of Jesus. If it was not for these two factors, then irrespective of whether the Messiah was in the heavens or the earth, we would not have any concern. However, since his ascension dishonors Islam and the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and conflicts with the unity of God the Almighty, how can we possibly tolerate such a belief? we cannot even bear to hear that the Messiah was superior to the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, let alone entertain such a belief. Hadrat Musleh Maud states that generally when any Ahmadi is discoursing on the topic of the death of Jesus, peace be upon him, and are presenting their arguments, they do not become passionate. In fact, they speak on this subject as if they are having a normal conversation. However, we have seen that when the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, discussed the concept of the death of Jesus, peace be upon him, he would be overcome with such passion that as a result of which his body would begin to tremble. His voice would be so glorious and powerful as if he was totally obliterating the concept of Jesus being alive, and his condition would completely change. He would fervently say that there is a huge stone in the pathway of mankind's success, which I am lifting and hurling far away. The world was falling into a pit of darkness, but I am leading it into light. Whenever the promised Messiah would speak on this issue, we would notice his voice would become extremely passionate, and it would seem as if the Messiah has taken seat on the Holy Prophet's throne, and had snatched his honor and prestige, and the promised Messiah now wants to take it back. So such was the honor that the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, had for the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. However, it is astonishing that a person who had such honor and passion for the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, regarding him, the ulama, or the Muslim scholars of today, say that, God forbid, he regarded himself superior to the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, or that he considered Ahmadiyya to be greater in rank. Then there is another incident. In fact, it is not an incident, but the sayings of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, of how God the Almighty guides a person about other people when he exalts himself to a high station, and how he grants him the knowledge of people's inner self. Regarding this, Hadrat Musleh Maud states that when a person attains such a high rank, which God Almighty raises him to, then he is given guidance from God the Almighty. And he is granted hidden guidance, which can neither be described as revelation, and nor is it completely independent from revelation. We cannot say it is revelation because no words are revealed, and we can also not say that it is completely different from revelation because in practice it is like a revelation, as the spiritual light of God the Almighty descends upon the heart of a person and grants him the knowledge of the true reality of the affair, even though it is not described in words. Hadrat Musleh Maud then states that sometimes if a person is granted the knowledge from God the Almighty in even more clarity, then it is called a kashf, vision. Therefore, at times there can be a kashf, when it occurs so vividly, just as the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, used to say, that when many people appear in front of me, I am able to see such rays of light beaming from within them, that I am able to identify their flaws and good qualities, but I am not permitted to notify them about their flaws. This has always been the practice of God the Almighty, that until man does not reveal his own inner self, he will not hold him guilty. Therefore, in accordance to this practice, prophets and their followers do not talk about a person's flaw to anyone until they reveal it themselves. There is an incident that occurred with a non-Ahmadi which shows how God the Almighty establishes the truth and honor of his loved ones by showing signs to other people. Hazrat Musleh Maud regarding this incident states that this thought of how can it be possible that rays of light shine out of a human body and others are able to witness it only occurs when people take these signs literally. If they realize that this is just a kashf, a vision, then such confusion and doubts would not arise in their hearts. The era of Prophet Moses is in the distant past, but even in this day and age, we have witnessed some of the signs that God the Almighty has shown, whereby those who possess the eye to see the kashf or vision have witnessed the spiritual light of God the Almighty physically, and also relished from its spiritual form. Thus, in 1904, when the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, travelled to Lahore, he delivered a speech there at a jalsa, or gathering. A non-Ahmadi acquaintance, Sheikh Rahmatullah Sahib, who was a lawyer, was also present at the function. He says that during the course of the speech, I saw light in the shape of a pillar appearing from the promised Messiah, peace be upon him's head, and rose towards the skies. A friend was sitting beside me at the time, and I said to him, "Look, what is that?" He looked and immediately replied that it is a pillar of light which is coming out from the promised Messiah, peace be upon him's head, and has reached the skies. This vision had such an impact on Sheikh Rahmatullah Sahib that he did the bayt, or the pledge of allegiance, of the promised Messiah on that very day. These are such signs that after witnessing them, people acquired faith, and there are many forms of these signs which God Almighty continues to show even today, which I previously mentioned in a Friday sermon and related some of the recent accounts. Hazrat Musleh Maud narrates an incident from one of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him's gatherings. He says, "I remember a friend once wrote to the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, and told him that the jinn, or the spirits, comes to his sister. This is a very widely held notion in our culture and among the Arabs also, that people become possessed by the jinn. And the poor person that has been afflicted by the jinn is subjected to all kinds of cruelty in order to get rid of it, and in some cases they even end up taking the person's life, who has been seized by the jinn. Nevertheless, someone once told the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, that the jinn comes to his sister, and the jinn say that they are ready to accept the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, wrote back to that person, that tell the jinn that why are they troubling a woman? If they want to trouble anyone, why do they not trouble people like Maulvi Muhammad Hussein Batalvi or Maulvi Sunnawala Sahib? What will they gain from troubling this poor lady?" Hazrat Musleh Maud states that there are no such jinn which people generally believe in. Indeed, there may be certain people who, on account of their Western education, are already convinced that there are no such jinn. However, for a mu'min, a true believer, it should not be the case that what his intellect says. In fact, the real question should be that what does the Holy Quran say? This is how a mu'min or true believer say. If the Holy Quran states that there are jinn as people generally believe them to be, then amanna wa saddaqna, that we believe and we testify. But if it is proven from the Holy Quran that apart from humans there are no jinn, then we must believe in this. And we, the mu'min, the true believers, have to obey the Quran in all circumstances. Then, in order to safeguard the honor and dignity of his loved ones, how does God the Almighty influence even the insane and mentally ill? We have heard about this incident many times before. Hadhrat Musleh Ahmad states that the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, used to narrate that once he went to Lahore and some friends insisted that there is a mentally ill ascetic who lives in Shadra and they should go and visit him. Some of the friends opposed this idea and some said that he utters extreme profanities and they should not go to him. However, those who were in favor of going said to the promised Messiah that you are the recipient of divine revelations and it would be interesting to see what this ascetic says. In other words, to determine the promised Messiah, peace be upon him's revelations, they considered this the only criteria, which was to go to this person. The promised Messiah declined to go, but they insisted and eventually took the promised Messiah on one occasion. The promised Messiah states that when they got there, he immediately stopped uttering profanities. There was a melon next to him, and he offered it to the promised Messiah and said that this is for you as a gift. Those who were witnessing this and only focus on the obvious and apparent matters become even more convinced about this ascetic. However, the promised Messiah stated that he was mentally ill, and sometimes even a mentally ill person is able to see things which a sensible person cannot, because they are cut off from the world and they are sometimes able to witness the knowledge of the unseen. I will mention some of the signs and miracles of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, which Hadhrat Musleh Ahmad has mentioned. There is a famous incident of someone being bitten by a rabid dog and was then cured. Hadhrat Musleh Ahmad has narrated this incident in the following way, that because all of the incidents during the life of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, were not recorded, not many examples can be found of this kind. Otherwise, I think that hundreds of thousands of examples could be found in the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him's lifetime. Atheism was extremely rampant during the time of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, and in order to halt it, there was a pressing need for heavenly signs. And God Almighty showed many signs through which we can imagine the signs of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. For example, I will relate the incident of a person named Abdul Karim, who used to study in a school in Qadian. Once he was bitten by a rabid dog and was sent to Kasuli for treatment. Initially, it seemed as if his treatment was successful, but a few days after returning, he fell ill again, and a message was sent to Kasuli to recommend some treatment. However, the reply came back that nothing can be done for Abdul Karim. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, was informed about his illness, and since it was very early days of the community, the Jamaat had just been established very newly, and this boy had travelled a long distance from a village in Hyderabad, Dakhan to study, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, felt great sympathy, and especially prayed for his cure. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, prayed that he has come from such a long distance and would not want him to die like this. In another place, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, has also stated that his mother had sent him to study with great desire and hope from such a far distant place, and that is also the reason why he had such an anguish to pray for him. As a result of the prayer, God Almighty cured him even after his second bout of illness, despite the fact that no one suffering from this kind of illness had ever been cured. This is what the medical history of the time stated. Hadhrat Musleh Ahmad states that a relative of mine is a doctor. Even to this day, he practices medicine. He narrated an incident from his student life that once he was having a conversation with another student on the existence of God. During the conversation, he, the relative doctor, presented this incident about Abdul Karim Sahib's recovery as a proof of the existence of God the Almighty and the way he listens to prayers and how this person was cured. The other student, who was not convinced of the existence of Allah the Almighty, said that such patients can be saved. This is not a strange thing. This relative says that coincidentally, that same day a professor was to deliver a lecture in the university on the condition of a person bitten by a dog. When the professor stood up to deliver the lecture and emphasized on the fact that this disease should be treated before the attack and attention should be paid towards this immediately, he says that in order to elaborate on this, I said, "Sir, some people say that the patient can be cured even after the attack." At that, the professor said angrily, "It can never happen. Whoever says that is a fool." Hence, Hadhrat Musleh Maud says that this was such a disease which was incurable, and never was it cured. However, Allah the Almighty cured Mia Abdul Karim through the prayer of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, and he is alive to this day by the grace of Allah. That was at the time of this account. Therefore, this proves that there is an entity that exercises authority above the physical law. This entity has the strength to cure. Then Hadhrat Musleh Maud narrates an incident that once two men and a woman visited the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, from America. One of the gentlemen conversed with the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, regarding Jesus of Nazareth. The person says that Jesus was God. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, said, "What evidence do you have of his divinity?" He said that Jesus showed miracles. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, said that I also show miracles. So the person replied, "Show me a miracle." The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, said that you yourself are my miracle. That is, the person who asked the question, the American, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, said to him that you are my miracle. This person was astonished when he heard this and said, "How am I your miracle?" The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, said that Qadian was a very small and unknown village. Even the most ordinary food items were not accessible here, to the extent that even 1 rupee worth of flour was not available. If someone needed flour, that person would have to take wheat and grind it. At that time, God the Almighty informed me that I shall exalt your name in the world, and you will become famous worldwide. People will come to you from all corners, and means of comfort will also be facilitated here. يَأْتُونَ مِنْ كُلِّ فَجٍّ عَمِيقٍ. People of all kinds and from all countries will visit you. يَأْتِيكَ مِنْ كُلِّ فَجٍّ عَمِيقٍ. And they will come in such large numbers that the roads will become difficult and deep. Now look how difficult and worn the roads have become. Last year alone, the government repaired the road which connects Batala to Qadian with 2,000 rupees worth of dirt. So the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, said to him that you are visiting me from America. What relation did you have with me? Who knew me until I made my claim? However, today you have come to me from so far away. This is a sign of my truthfulness. Hadhrat Musleh Maud says, "I remember clearly that at the time when this conversation was happening, and when that person asked the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, that you show any miracle of yours, everyone was surprised to hear how the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, would reply. Everyone thought that the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, will deliver a speech about miracles and how miracles are manifested. But as soon as he was done with what he had to say, and the English was translated to Urdu for the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, this was his immediate reply." Hadhrat Musleh Maud says, "This was a small thing, but not everyone's reasoning can comprehend it. Even now, anyone who will not use reasoning will say, 'What miracle is this?' However, those people whose eyes are open and they have wisdom and reasoning, they consider this a very great miracle, and this alone is sufficient for a person who accepts the truth. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, has written that hundreds of thousands of signs were manifested for my truthfulness. However, I say that so many signs were manifested that they cannot be enumerated. Regardless, many ignorant people say that there are not as many revelations of Mirza Sahib, then how is it possible to have so many signs? But those people with wisdom and reasoning know fully that hundreds of thousands of signs can be manifested from one revelation alone. There is a famous incident about a person who said to his nephews that tomorrow I will treat you with a laddu, a type of sweet popular in the subcontinent, which is made by hundreds of thousands of people. The next day, when everyone sat to eat, they did not eat anything, as they were anxious to eat the laddu, and they asked their uncle for it. He presented them with an ordinary laddu, and said that this is the laddu which I promised you. When they saw it, they were astonished at the fact that how was this created by hundreds of thousands of men. Their uncle said that you should start taking notes using a pen and paper. I will explain to you how the laddu, or this sweet, was made by hundreds of thousands of people. Look, the confectioner brought the item that were used to make it from numerous people. Afterwards, thousands of people made every single one of those items. Take sugar, for example. Labor of so many men was spent in its preparation. Some men mixed it, some juiced it, some pulled it from the crops, some plowed the crops, and some watered it. Then there are those who create the steel and wood used in the plowing. If you count everyone, then how many men would that be in total? Also, other than sugar, there is flour in laddu. Consider how many people who prepare that. Does the total people not reach such a number? His nephew said that yes, this is correct. So these children didn't understand this, but that person, since he was wise, was considering the fact that the labor of hundreds of thousands of people is spent in order to create a laddu, or this sweet. So he gave this advice in a worldly manner. However, the spiritual saints have done the same. Hazrat Musleh Maud narrated the incident about Mirza Mazhar Jan Janasab, that he gave two laddu or sweets to Ghulam Nabi, a person from Badala. Ghulam Nabi put these laddus or sweets in his mouth and ate them. After a little while, he asked Ghulam Nabi, that what have you done with those laddu or sweets? Ghulam Nabi replied, I ate them. When he heard this, he asked in a very astonishing manner, what, you ate them? Ghulam Nabi replied, yes, I ate them. He asked him again and again and kept on wondering that how did you eat them so quickly? Ghulam Nabi thought that he should watch how he, the saint, eats a laddu or sweet. One day someone brought a few laddu to him, the saint. He picked one laddu and placed it in a handkerchief. He took a particle of it and delivered a speech addressing himself, that I am a worthless being. God the Almighty sent this great favor for me. So many items went into this laddu, or sweet, that how many men might have created it? Did God the Almighty send his favor for this worthless being? He continued this speech in this manner. He expressed his humility, submissiveness, and he also praised God the Almighty. In this way, starting from Zuhr, the midday prayer, he only ate the little piece which he had placed in his mouth, and the azan, call for prayer for Asr, the afternoon prayer, was called. He left the laddu, the sweet, and went to do wudu, the ablution. Hazrat Musleh Maud says that what was this? It was the fact that he saw thousands of God's signs in one laddu or sweet. A person who wants to can eat 4 to 5 or 10 to 20 laddus or sweets all of a sudden. However, for Mazhar Jan Sahib, even eating one laddu became difficult. By remembering the favors of God Allah the Almighty, reason transforms something small into something big, and ignorance transforms something big into a small thing. So a wise person witnesses great signs of God the Almighty in small matters, and an ignorant person does not witness anything, even in significant matters. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, used to say that God the Almighty has shown hundreds of thousands of signs for my truthfulness. Hazrat Musleh Maud says, this is absolutely correct. I say that God the Almighty has shown so many signs for the truthfulness of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, that cannot be enumerated. But for whom? These signs that have been shown are for whom? They are for those who have wisdom. If someone visits Qadian to witness the signs of the promised Messiah's truthfulness, then all the buildings that are here in Qadian, which can be seen from here while standing in Masjid Aqsa, all are his signs except for a few. The land which was prepared for building houses beyond Ahmadiyya Bazaar, every sack of clay which was used in this regard, is a sign. There was a huge hole here that an elephant could have fallen inside. This hole was filled with earth, and this area was populated afterwards. Then, if one was to leave Qadian and go northwards, there are the high buildings which can be seen. every brick and every grain of the powder used to create these buildings is a sign of the truthfulness of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. Then, all the people that can be seen while walking in Qadian, regardless of the fact that they may be Hindu or Sikh, non-Ahmadi or Ahmadi, all of them are a sign of the truthfulness of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. Ahmadis are a sign because they left their homes and settled here after witnessing the truthfulness of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. Non-Ahmadi and people of other religions are a sign because their way of living and attire and so on was not the same before the claim of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, as it is now. Their turbans, their kurtas, that is upper body garments, their pajamas, that is their lower or leg garments, their buildings, their wealth, were all not the same as they are now. Even today, the development of Qadian is a proof of this. Even today, people visit Qadian because it is the village of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. They do not visit it because it is a city, and like ordinary cities, its population is growing, and it is developing, or it is expanding. The businessmen there, even today, are hoping that an annual convention, Jalsa Solana, will be held here, which was started by the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, and thus their businesses will flourish. So this material advancement of others is also happening in this city because of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. Anyway, after the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, made his claim, people visited him, and they took advantage of this. And because of La Yashqa Jalisum, they also benefited from this favor. So these are all signs of his truthfulness. Hadhrat Musleh Maud says that there is no need to go far. This mosque where he was delivering this sermon, this building, this wood, this pole, all of them are signs because they were not present before. They were created after the claim of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. Hence, hundreds of thousands of signs can be found here. Then, so many people attend the Jalsa Salana. Every single one of them is a sign which God the Almighty manifests every year, and he will continue to manifest as he wills. So this was a very low estimate by the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, regarding his signs, that they are in hundreds of thousands. I say that they are in such a number that it is not humanly possible to enumerate. Only God the Almighty can estimate it, where these signs are a means of strengthening our faith, according to the above-mentioned verse. They also illustrate the fact that firstly, every person who visits Qadian should open his eyes and witness the amount of signs here, and he himself is a sign. And today Ahmadis spread around the world, Ahmadiyya mosques, mission houses, jamiat, schools, hospitals, and the trust and expression of respect of the locals towards the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, are all signs. Only a person with spiritual sight can see. Hadhrat Musleh Maud says that I remember clearly that a Maulvi visited the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, and said, "I am here to witness any sign of yours." The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, laughed and said, "Mia, you should look at my book Haqiqatul Wahi. You will then find out that God the Almighty has manifested so many signs in my support. What benefit have you attained by those signs that you are here to witness another sign?" If that person had presented a few prophecies to be fulfilled in a few minutes, then we would have accepted his prophecies not only for 2 years, but for the next 200 years, and we would say to him, "We have witnessed the fulfillment of the prophecies within a few minutes, then the long-term prophecies must definitely be fulfilled." However, without showing such prophecies, if a person prophesies for the long-term, then we will say that this is beyond reasoning. Hence, the prophecies of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, were fulfilled in his lifetime, and are being fulfilled to this day. As I have stated, the advancement of the Jamaat is its reasoning and proof. May Allah the Almighty grant insight to those who do not see these prophecies which are being fulfilled, so that they can come to witness this. And may Allah the Almighty continue to strengthen our faith at every moment.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, nahmadu wa nasta'inu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'uzu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وَدُوهُ يَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ وَلَذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ